Michigan's Children proudly presents Speaking for Kids, the podcast where we explore crucial conversations impacting the lives of all Michigan children, youth, and families, especially the most vulnerable. Join us each month as we explore public policies and issues in the best interest of our kids and families. We'll bring you lawmakers and policymakers, advocates fighting for change, and the people most affected by those decisions. With our host, Matt Gillard, President and CEO of Michigan's Children, we'll invite you to become engaged too and show you how to take action on what matters most to you. Episodes are recorded live and shared virtually on YouTube and the audio hosting sites Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Welcome back to Speaking for Kids, the podcast for Michigan's Children. I'm your host, Matt Gillard, the President and CEO of Michigan's Children. Over the years, we've all been exposed to many accounts from across the country around violent encounters between law enforcement and young people, signaling a growing national distrust, especially on matters of race. Lives and communities have been shattered and altered forever by these encounters, and young people and police officers have been tragically hurt and worse. But today, we've invited some pretty amazing guests to the podcast to candidly talk about an exchange of a different kind between law enforcement officers and young people from the city of Flint. Called Exchange for Change, the program was created to allow folks from both sides to talk about their differences, find common ground, and attempt to bridge the divide between them. Michigan's Children has been involved in Exchange for Change since it was launched by Peckham Youth Services in 2022 in Lansing, Michigan. Our guests today are from the program's third cohort, and a fourth is already underway for the fall. For our listeners' background, this most recent cohort got together over 4 weeks starting last January. The students attended Peckham Youth Services classes in Flint, and the seven officers were from the Flint Police Department and the Genesee County Sheriff's Office. A group of 14 in all, they sat down with Peckham and Michigan's Children Program staff in guided conversations that carried over into lunch. The group set up some talking rules, and the group participants decided the topics they wanted to explore from the beginning. Officers were asked to attend in plain clothes. As we dive in, so we've got four special guests today, two young people, two students that participated in the program, and two officers. As we dive in, I'm going to start by having the guests introduce themselves, and then we'll talk about some of their experiences they have with this program. So first, we'll start with the young people. With us, we have Lariah Walker. Lariah, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, my name is Lariah. I've been going to this program for like over 3 months, and I had got into it with a little program with y'all with this Exchange for Change, and I like it so far.
Great. And DeAndre, you want to introduce yourself as well?
How y'all doing? I'm DeAndre Delian. I've been with the Peckham for like 4 or 5 months now.
All right, Deputy Walker, how about you?
How everybody doing? Oh, wait. I'm Deputy Walker. I work for the Sheriff's Office. I'm the School Resource Officer here at Peckham. I've been at Peckham for 2 years now. And yes, I enjoy the Exchange for Change program.
Excellent. Officer Spann.
Hello, everyone. I'm Officer Paul Spann with the City of Flint Police Department. I've been on the force for approximately 5 years now. And so I was contacted by the Peckham administrative staff initially, and the idea was pitched about this this possibility to have law enforcement engage with the youth population. And so one of my responsibilities here at the department is I am the police side, the coordinator for our police athletics and activity league, which essentially is a program, and its very purpose is to target the juvenile population to help decrease the chances that they'll end up in that cycle of crime and violence. And so again, when this idea was pitched to me to be able to have this kind of like this face-to-face engagement with the youth, to me, it was a no-brainer, as well as our chief, Terrence Green. So, yep.
Great. Thanks. Well, let's dig into that just a little bit, Officer Spann, and then we'll go back through the other folks. So when you were first pitched this idea from the folks at Peckham and Michigan's Children, What were you most interested in learning about? What did you, what first came to mind about maybe some of the conversations that you'd be able to have with young people in this kind of setting?
Probably what stuck out most in terms of piquing my interest was just the ability to be able to be in a setting, a laid back setting, and have these transparent conversations with the youth to really have a chance to understand what it is that they expected of law enforcement. Right. And I think also too, just kind of hearing what they were bringing, like the knowledge and the situations, their experiences, right, that they were bringing to the table in terms of what had happened before. And just, again, being able to have that engagement, I think, in what you can consider a positive setting. Unfortunately, so much of our interaction that we get with the community is when someone is in a crisis situation. And so for me to have the ability to sit with the youth and, again, just allow these transparent conversations, I think that's what really stuck out to me.
Excellent. What about you, Deputy Walker? What were some of the things that first came to mind when this idea was pitched to you, or this when you first learned about this opportunity?
Initially, I thought exchange for change. I mean, I didn't really know what to think about the program. But once we got in the program and we came up with the ideas of what we were going to speak in points or whatever, and to actually talk to the students, it just changed my outlook on it, I guess. I didn't really know what to expect at first, but they were, we all became like vulnerable and we opened up to each other. And I think that we all saw that we were more alike than different.
That's great. How about you, Raya? What was your first thought when somebody came to you and said, hey, we're going to do this program where you're going to sit in a room with some other young people and a bunch of police officers? What were your first thoughts about that?
My first thought was like, no, I don't know about all that. But then, like, as I tried it out and got into it and, like, got to see both sides of the story and really understand where they was coming from and where both was coming from, it was really like a relief, because like we mostly look at it like, I say like most students or most people look at it like police is like police, so they don't got no feelings or they don't be scared or nothing like that, but they be scared too and stuff like that. And it was good to like hear like that, like basically like, I don't know, but we all the same basically. It was good to know that they still feel some type of way and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got more in common than you thought, probably, hey?
Yeah.
So, DeAndre, what about you? What were some of the thoughts you had when you first were approached about participating in this?
I'll take it. So.
Well, DeAndre, you're on mute. I'm not sure if you're trying to answer or not, but we'll keep moving right along. So talk about, Raya, talk about some of the conversations that you did have or you know, what stood out to you? What were some of the conversations or exercises in the program that you remember that kind of stood out to you as kind of an eye-opener or something that you weren't expecting?
Our feelings. The way we look at things and the way that we take certain things, like we don't take things like how we supposed to take it, like seeing the police and feel me, being around a couple of police that did some crazy stuff. It's like really being around some cool policemen and stuff like that. It was a change for real. It was just, I don't know, it was relief, man.
Yeah, that's great. No, and that's similar to what we heard from, you know, from some of the earlier cohorts as well here in Lansing, is that it was really kind of an eye-opening experience for the young people to get to know the police officers in the community on kind of a different level and to recognize that there's a lot, you share a lot in common with them. So let's talk about it from your end, Deputy Walker. What were some of the conversations maybe that you had or experiences, conversations and exercises that you did that kind of stood out to you from the program?
I would have to say that a lot of the conversations that we had, I mean, because being on this side of the law and then growing up in the city of Flint, and having interactions with the police, it was different. I mean, when I grew up, police officers in my neighborhood, we saw them and we respected them. And then becoming the police and everything being so different, where the nobody respects the police, or most people view us in a negative light. So sitting in this classroom or this space with these students, and you get kind of to the bottom of why people do what they do. And a lot of our past, my past pushed me towards being a police. The things that I saw and how I wanted to be a better officer than some of the ones that I saw. And then I can kind of understand why the juveniles do, or students do, whatever the things that they do, because of where they came from, their upbringing, and their experience with the police. So it was definitely enlightening, enlightening. Yeah.
How about you, Officer Span? Any particular conversations or moments that you thought, wow, this is noteworthy, or maybe not what I was expecting?
There are two particular things that definitely stood out. One was an exercise that we did where so different things were called out. So for instance, raise your hand if you came from a single parent household. Raise your hand if you've experienced some type of trauma, by different means or what have you. And I think to for that, I believe that exercise was powerful because again, when we talk about focusing more on our similarities than our differences, I think it was eye-opening for a lot of people to see, oh wow, so like I came up in a single parent household, and so did this officer, and so did this deputy. I had a fear of police growing up, and hey, so did this person. So that exercise, I feel, was really, really powerful because I think that that was one of the things that really started to show again, hey, we are like we're similar. We're very similar. We come from very similar walks of life. And then the second thing I'm going to say is it was part of the culmination, kind of as everyone was giving their feedback in terms of what we thought about the program overall. One of the questions that was asked of the youth was, so has this, as a result of being a part of this program, has this changed the way you feel about or how you'll interact with police? And one of the comments that was made was, it will change the way that we feel about or interact with this specific group of police officers. And to me, that was very powerful because within that statement, I think it shows the need for more programs like this, for this to continue, and for it to be able to reach out to and encompass a lot more of the law enforcement and a lot more youth. Because essentially what that was showing was like, hey, now that we have had a chance, we came in with these kind of these thoughts and these preconceived notions, but now that we have had a chance to have these conversations with you all, I mean, and let's be real, it wasn't really a very long period of time, and we always ran over or we were like chopping things up so that we could make sure. So we really didn't get a whole lot of time, but even within that time, it was enough to change their perspective of how they felt about those officers that they were able to sit down with. So those were the two things I'd say that stuck out to me that were most powerful.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's imperative, right? I mean, that's what we're all about now, is how can we figure out how to make this, create this same type of experience for more young people and more officers, and so that we can get more people to see this commonality that's there, and to build a better trusting relationship really in our communities. DeAndre, how about you? What were some of the things maybe that surprised you from your experience in this, particularly in your interactions with the police officers?
Something that surprised me. Well, when I first came here, I wasn't expecting like to actually be sitting down talking to no police officers. So that surprised me right there. And then secondly, we were talking about how police have trauma and how the youth have trauma also. And so that stood out because I figured they had trauma, but it just, I don't know. Like, how y'all have trauma and trying to deal with us, and we have the same things y'all got going on, like PTSD. Y'all got PTSD, like, yeah. That's really it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's important. So, well, how about, and Ryan, I'll go back to you now. What was maybe one thing that you really wanted to make sure that the police officers knew about you or knew about young people in Flint as you started into this program?
It ain't like I wanted them to know something. It was just like, I don't know. I wouldn't say I wanted them to know anything. I just wanted like them to feel how we feel and like us to know like to feel how they feel type like to like. I don't know. It was just like I just wanted to get to know, like, you feel me, how we both look at it. Like, it wasn't really a, like, how you just asked or what you just said. It wasn't really, I don't know.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So one of the issues, you know, that so this this is podcast is for a statewide audience, and one of the issues that folks from around the state hear about quite often when we talk about Flint, unfortunately, is still the Flint water crisis. And I know that this was brought up in comments in one of your sessions. So DeAndre, I'll start with you. Maybe how do you believe the water crisis has affected young people and how you respond to the environment? And then, you know, overall in your community, what has the impact been on young people that have lived through this, you know, on the ground?
I feel like the Flint water crisis, I feel like it changed a lot of behaviors in the city. Like it affected behaviors, how people think, what they do. It affect homes. People they couldn't take showers, drink water. And so, yeah, growing up, being younger, can't take a shower or can't drink water out the faucet, you got to drink a bottle of water or something like that. That can really mess you up as a kid. And I feel like overall, like through the city, I feel like it got better. You feel me? I feel like it got better. But it's still some working to do. And yeah, I feel like now we just got so used to it. We got so used to just drinking bottles of water and not drinking out the faucet no more. And yeah, I think we just got comfortable.
Yeah, that's interesting. Raya, how about from you? Anything in specific around the Flint water crisis that you think people that haven't lived through that should know about what the impact of that was like on kids in Flint?
I mean, to me, I feel like it was a big deal to others, but like, I don't know, like, it really did. It did change some behaviors. I'll say it changed some homes. I ain't gonna say behaviors for real, cause you can't base no behavior on water. But I say like it changed a few homes. Like people like got to thinking like, oh, our water bad, so we can't do this, we can't do that, and it affected how people move around Flint, and it just had everybody just in like a riot, like moving crazy. So it was just like, it was kind of a little bit of craziness, but I don't really think the water crisis got, it did, you feel me? I don't really think it affected us that much. Like some of us, like we really ain't pay attention to it because we weren't drinking out the faucet anyway. But I don't know. That's just for my behalf. It ain't affect me. I mean, it affected me a little bit. Like when they got to tell us like, we couldn't drink it and we had to go get checked out for COVID. I mean, I said COVID, for lead and all.
Lead, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. But the COVID thing too, I mean, I think about from your generation, you guys went from, especially from Flint, right? You went from this Flint water crisis, which was a big deal in your community, and then almost right into COVID, which then obviously was impacting young people in particular, all over the world and certainly all over the country as well. So, Deputy Walker, how about from your standpoint? What do you think the people from the state of Michigan or outside of Flint should know kind of about that impact, about how young people in Flint have gone from really the Flint water crisis right into a global pandemic that impacted what, you know, any sort of normalcy in their routines as well, and now are trying to emerge from all of those things.
Well, I think that the people outside of Flint who did not experience the water crisis should know that, like Laraya said, that not everybody was affected the same, right? Some people didn't even drink the water in the first place, which I didn't drink the water, but I couldn't cook with the water. And in 2016, I had a child and I couldn't even bathe her in the water. So if you don't have money to buy water, then that really affected you. And if you don't have transportation to go get the free water, that affected you too. You know what I'm saying? So as far as behavior, I don't know about it affecting behavior, but we talking about people who already don't trust, like police officers and the government. And then the citizens of Flint believe that the government did that on purpose. They knew that the pipes were not right, and they still deliberately switched the water system over to the lead pipe. So they did that on purpose. So that furthermore their distrust in the government, and police officers are a part of the government, right? So they really looking at us like, I don't trust y'all. Y'all ain't got our best interests at heart. Yeah, so it affected the youth because after you're right, we went from that big old crisis into the global pandemic. Kids were not in school, right? So we went from not being able to drink water and take proper showers or care for your family, right, into a global pandemic where kids are stuck at home, where again, they are lacking just regular, just the necessities. Some households don't even have the necessities. So parents don't even know what to do because they got their kids all day long when they used to send them to school where somebody else have to make sure that they are being taught, or, and then we put them at home where they online and it's not really direct education being provided, you know, the proper education being provided. So it set a lot of students back like a couple years, you know, as far as education is concerned. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot to go from one crisis to the other. It's like we didn't even get a chance to take a breath.
I absolutely. Officer Spann, any additional thoughts about the kind of this Flint water crisis topic?
Yeah, I'll just say just a few things. I mean, Laraya and Deputy Walker, they really touched on like the main points. One of the things that, you know, with Laraya that I always enjoyed about her is that she was one of the students that she always believed that, hey, you got to take accountability. And so I'm not surprised to hear her say, nope, didn't affect behavior or anything like that, because it fits with her character. Again, she was one of the kids that's just like, hey, you have to take accountability. But what I will say on that is that there was, and like Deputy Walker said, it didn't affect everyone the same way, but there were studies done that did show that you did have a whole group of kids that were at a higher risk for attention issues, a higher risk for aggression, for depression, hyperactivity, and even, you know, just trouble adapting in general, right? And so even getting into, as we touch on some of those, talking about some of the mental health issues. I also read another study that said as a result of everything that was going on, residents in Flint were twice as more likely than other people in the U.S. to experience depression. And so I think when you do look at some of these things that were tracked and numbers that, you know, when we look at, you know, people like to say the science and the statistics, it does show that those things did happen. And I will say, I think from a police standpoint, law enforcement standpoint, you see some of that. And so I think that adds another factor to things that you have to take into consideration when you do engage with the community. You know, how much of this is just me making this choice versus these other external factors that some of these folks kind of had no control over. Because like Deputy Walker said, you know, some people had to drink the water. Some people didn't have a choice. They didn't have other options until we started, you know, getting the free cases of water and things like that. They didn't have any other options, you know, other than to use the water that, you know, the Flint water. And then the second thing I will say too, just again, piggybacking off of what Deputy Walker said, when you talk about the community and law enforcement, right? Now we're widening this mistrust.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Again, like Deputy Walker said, we're connected with the government. Yep. And so in times like that, we're not seen as, whereas with this program, we were able to be looked at as individuals. In situations like that, everybody's lumped in together. You're the police, you represent the government. We think the government did this to us. This was a choice that they made, not thinking about the community. So you're on that side. We're not trying to deal with you.
Yeah. No, yeah. And you're absolutely right. And I mean, we're seeing that distrust of government manifest itself all over the country right now, and certainly all over in other ways in Michigan. But I think Flint was at the center of that before a lot of other communities with the water crisis. No, absolutely. All right, let's talk. DeAndre, I'm going to come to you. We're going to start to wrap up here a little bit. So in what ways was the Exchange for Change program a useful experience for you? And how do you look at things maybe a little bit differently today than you did before you started this program? And what suggestions, or why should other communities try something like this? And why should we encourage other people, other young people, in particular from your perspective, to participate in programs like this where they get to know police officers in their communities?
I feel like, I mean, it's always good to see both sides, you feel me? I think that's what a lot of youth need, because they so stuck on one side, stuck on one thing, on how the police is. They'll never try to open their mind up and just look at it from both perspectives. I feel like this would be good for a different city or different group of kids to do the same thing, just to open their minds up and see for themselves. Because all the police not the same. They are not the same. Yeah. What was the last question?
I think you nailed it. That's why why should other communities try to do something or do something like this?
Yeah. I feel like I like it though. I'll probably do it again. I feel like it was a good experience.
Excellent, excellent. Raya, how about you? Why was this useful for you, and why do you think other kids should participate in something like this?
I feel like they should just like give the police a chance, like DeAndre said, all police not the same, man. I get that, like. We done been through like some real tough times with the police and experienced some real tough times. But I think like if they actually just, you feel me, try to group up and do what we did and try to actually end up like have some like conversation with them and see both sides, it wouldn't be that bad. What was useful was like really like getting to know like what they was thinking and how they felt. Cause like people, like when they see police, they think they got on that badge. They think they're not worried about nothing. They think, oh, they feel tough, this and that. And the third whole time, they be scared for real. So it's just like, they human, we human. We all got the same feelings. Just cause they got a badge on, I mean, treat them different. But police not the same. I say, I'll try it, I'll do it again. I liked my little group.
That's great. That's great. Deputy Walker, how about from your end? How was this program a useful experience for you, and why should other communities try something similar?
It was useful for me because, like, I work with kids every single day, and I have worked with kids for quite a long time. I have a huge family, and I'm the first police officer in our family, so I've been trying to encourage some of them to become the police, but, you know, before I did Exchange for Change, they look at it like, y'all 12, y'all, you know, we the ops, we the enemies, you know what I'm saying? So I still try to encourage them, like, this being a police is so much more than just hooking them and booking them, right? It's so much more. And what I love about my job, not only that, when I work with my students, because I get to build a rapport with my students, I get to understand where they come from, I get to understand the things that they're going through, and that give me an opportunity to help them if I can, or give them the resources or point them into a better direction or whatever. But like Larice said, we all the same. You know, you just gotta, if more people were empathetic to other people's situations, they and put themselves in their shoes or try to imagine what it'd be like, this world would be a better place. Amen. Right? Exchange for Change was a start for us here in the city of Flint. And this would be awesome. Awesome. I can't wait to see how far this goes and how many more communities are affected by this program.
That's great. Officer Spann, same question to you. How is this useful to you, and why should other communities try a similar program?
So when you talk about the usefulness, I think it just, it reiterates and strengthens the fact that as we continue to evolve, right, as police, and I think Deputy Walker touched on it earlier, things are a little bit different now. Public perception is a little bit different now than it was, say, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And so we have to do a little more work now, right, for that community engagement to build that trust. And I think one of the things that came of this is that it shows that part of the training for police officers should be to continue to focus on the relationship building aspect of engagement with engaging with the community. And another thing Deputy Walker talked about that I agree with, when you talk about the police in general, right, we're trained that, hey, you go into any situation, you assert your authority, you are in control. But I think the other piece of that is understanding that there are a number of different ways that you could control the outcome of a situation aside from just simply making an arrest. Maybe there is an arrest necessary, but then after that arrest, is there any follow-up? You know, a lot of times, again, when you talk about in the community, these are folks that we're coming in contact with over and over on a daily basis. So again, when you talk about the authority part of it, I think you look at, again, finding constructive ways to continue to assert the authority, but again, maybe we're looking at attacking it from a different angle. The other part that came from this is I think it's very clear that from the youth population, they just want to be heard, right? And I think that's the big part of any conversation. In order for us to have a conversation, we can't just both be talking. There has to be some active listening going on. And so as I sat there and I listened to the youth, to the kids that were a part of this program, they just want to be heard, right? They want to know that we know what their concerns are. They want to know that they want to know that that we have, that we know that their needs are valid, right? So, and again, similarities, no different than what we want from the law enforcement side. But I think, again, big takeaway was getting a chance to listen to these young folks talk and really hearing, hey, again, we want to be heard. And so that's what I would say were the biggest things and why I would promote this program. And like Deputy Walker said, it's definitely something that should continue to happen and, you know, on a larger scale, because ultimately when you talk about, it's called Exchange for Change, that's how this change is going to happen. We have to be able to have these transparent conversations in a different type of environment. It can't just be when we're responding to a call for service and someone is in crisis.
Absolutely. No, that's very well said. And that's exactly what Michigan's Children, our organization, is all about, is giving opportunities for young people to be heard and their voices to be a part of these conversations, both at the policy end and at the local community end. So that's great. Well, I certainly want to thank all of our guests today, Officer Spann, Deputy Walker, our young people, DeAndre DeLeon and Lariah Walker, both for your engagement in this program, but certainly for being agreeing to be a part of this as well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. If you want to learn more about this important program, Exchange for Change, you can find more information on our website at michiganschildren.org. And please tune in again next month for another episode of Speaking for Kids, a podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children that'll explore more issues related to kids and families in our communities and across our state. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Speaking for Kids, the podcast for Michigan's Children with host Matt Gillard. Thanks for joining us. To explore these and other issues relevant to our state's children, youth, and families, and to build your advocacy muscle, go to our website at www.michiganschildren.org. You'll find links and news about past and future podcast topics under our Resource tab and action alerts under the Take Action tab. Find and like us on Facebook and Twitter. Terry Bannis and Stephen Wallace produced this podcast. Contact them with your questions and ideas for other topics. Michigan's Children is a nonprofit advocacy organization, an independent voice working to reduce disparities in child outcomes from cradle to career through policy change.